morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13. Okay, Luke 13. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. And he answered and said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans are greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffer this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, Woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered and said, You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Therefore he was saying, What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. Again he said, To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal, until it was all leaven. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many I tell you will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I did not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, there when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being cast out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Just at that time, some Pharisees came up saying to him, Go away and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, Go tell that fox, Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet shall perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Okay, and so we start off Luke 13, pretty much where we left off at Luke 12, and Jesus is still quite serious, right? He's getting the mode. He is now already, he's turned his face towards Jerusalem, you know, and now he's just right about to get to that place. And you can see, like in this chapter, I think it's, verse 32, right, he makes that nod to his death, right? He says, in the third day, and then I will be, the word, my translation, reach my goal, the better translation is, I will be perfected, right? And I'll become perfect during that time. And that's, you know, talking about the cross, and perfect meaning more of completion than anything else. And so he comes and he begins to share with them this whole first part, you know, about an incident that happened. And remember, right, the one thing they got to see about Jesus and his teachings, he's just flowing, right? he's meeting people, he's doing stuff, and as he's in conversation or in contact with people, then he's beginning to teach out of that. You know, and so we see that these guys are talking about, you know, Pilate and you know, what he did to the Galileans. And this would be of significance for Jesus, because Jesus is a Galilean, right? He's from Nazareth. He's from that part of the, you know, woods, basically. And so they come and begin to share with him about these things. And then he teaches them, you know, really about life in a lot of ways. And he says, well, these bad things happened to these people. Were they worse sinners than somebody else? No. You know, they weren't. But Jesus, he wants them to look on not necessarily what's happening on earth, you know, but what's going to happen in eternity. And he says, well, you too, you know, like we can't really, you know, explain sometimes things that happen on this earth, you know, but you too, if you don't repent, this is going to be your fate. You know, and so no matter what cards you're dealt with, right, it's up to us to find a relationship with God that will bring us out of whatever situation that we're in. And then he begins to tell them this parable, and the Jews understood this very, very well, because the fig tree, or the fig in particular, is a Old Testament motif, right? And so whenever you see Jesus talking about fig, not every time, but one of the big things about this fig, it's representative of Israel. Hosea, in chapter 9, he says that the fig tree is representative of the fathers of Israel, right, of the fathers of Israel. The fig tree is also in New Testament in Matthew. It talks about barren religion, you know. And so Jesus is talking about the Jewish faith, and look at the timing in this, right? He says, I've been coming here for 3 years. How long is Jesus ministry? It's 3 years, right? He's been ministering to the children of Israel. They're not responding to that at all. You know, they're not coming to understand his message at all. And then he says, well, let's cut down. He says, well, I'll give it one more year. You know, and then if fruit comes, then sure. If not, then, you know, let's cut it down. And this is, in essence, this will be leading into the book of Acts, you know, what Luke is doing. And he's giving us a bit of a time frame, you know, of when salvation will be opened up to the rest of the world. And, you know, my math, you know, my dates are not exact, but I'd say within the year, right, Paul basically is released to minister to the Gentiles. And we see this kind of transfer, you know, that's happening there. And then we have this really interesting passage, you know, about this woman. And so then he teaches on the Sabbath, and he finds this woman for 18 years. She was bent over, okay? And Luke makes it clear that the reason why she was bent over is because of an evil spirit, okay? Now, Jesus heals her, and notice the way he does it. He says to her, you know, in verse 12, ending 12, he says, woman, you are freed from your sickness, right? So there is a proclamation of faith that comes, right? Remember, no spoken word of God, which shall be without ability. The proclamation of faith comes, and then Jesus lays hands on her, and then she gets healed. You know, that should teach us a little bit of something, right? You know, was she healed when Jesus laid hands on her and put her straight up? No. She was healed when he proclaimed it, right? And so, you know, I mean, obviously in this passage, the time frame was very short, right? You know, but we can take it into our lives. You know, there's sometimes when God says a word over us and says you're healed, or you're, you know, your dad saved. Well, that one, that's got to be an actual thing, right? But we're looking at ourselves, you know, or says something to the effect of something's going to happen in your life. You know, I tell you guys, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. You know, and then the actualization of heaven coming down to earth, you know, I don't know the time, and that in itself is a mystery right there, you know, but he proclaimed it first, and he says, woman, you are healed. You know, he didn't say, you will be healed after I lay hands on you. He says, woman, you are healed. Present tense. You're healed right now. And then he laid hands, and then she became erect. And if you didn't believe Luke, you know, attributed this to a demon, later on Jesus says, look, this woman Satan had bound for 18 long years. Right? And so now we can see, and now what I want to do is I want to give you a holistic picture, right, of not just warfare, but about this world that we live in this life that we have. Some illnesses and sicknesses are demonic. You know, meaning that there is an evil spirit assigned to your body, you know, or something in some way. And so I don't care how much medicine you take or what kind of treatments you get, until you go through deliverance, you're not going to be healed. You know, now obviously some things are chemical, physical, you know, I mean, those aspects as well, right? You know, and so I want to give you a full picture. Now, not every illness is demonic, right? So let's not swing to the other pendulum and cast out every, you know, demon of this and that, because, you know, I mean, that's not what the scriptures tell us, right? But we can see it at some points, because sometimes Jesus heals straight out, which has nothing to do with demonic things. You know, and sometimes, you know, like in later on in the New Testament, you know, Paul tells Timothy, hey, have a little bit of wine because you got a bad stomach, man. You know, and so, you know, that is dealing with a physical aspect, and he's actually giving him treatment in that. And so, I mean, let's have a broader picture, you know, of these things that not only incorporate the scientific and the medical, but also incorporate the spiritual as well. You know, and he says very simply, he says, Satan, you know, and naming him personally, has bound this woman for 18 long years. You know, and so the lens I want you to look at it, and this is one side that I think sometimes in deliverance ministry they don't really capture so much, is that this woman was a victim, you know. This woman was a victim of the enemy. And I mean, I don't know what she, you know, so I mean, we'll get into the roots and all that stuff when Dr. Kraft comes. And I mean, it's going to be an incredible time for us to learn and things, you know. But there was something about the enemy that had grabbed a hold of this woman's back, you know. I don't know what the entry points or whatnot. And it was the rebuke, right? It was the spiritual warfare that took place that set her free, right? And so, you know, I want to suggest to you that when we look at illness, you know, and when we think about healing, and when we think about sickness and, you know, and all these things and disease, that as people of God, that there's a part of us that we pursue the spiritual angle as well. You know, as much as you take medicine and whatnot, let's pursue the spiritual angle, right? Because that may be the root cause of this all, and there are no amount of medicines going to help you in this situation. You know, and so, I mean, for very practical purposes, you know, I share this many times. If I have a headache, you know, and, you know, just simple like that, right? We all get headaches. And so, you know, the first thing I do, I ask the Lord to heal me. I say, God, you know, whatever's going on, touch my head and heal me. You know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. If it doesn't happen, I go and I get my, you know, I guess I've been taking Aleve these days, right? Aleve works really good, man. Right, and so I took a lot of different things, but Aleve seems to be the ticket for me right now. And so, and then I take the Aleve, and then, you know, after about an hour, I'm well. You know, and so you pursue different sides, right? The scientific, you know, medical side, and also the spiritual side. And in this situation, this woman was bound, you know, by the devil. And notice also, to give you another window, who was this woman? She was a daughter of Abraham. She was a child of God, right? Can children of God be bound by evil spirits? Yeah, they can. You know, it seems like in the scriptures, there's a couple other passages, it seems like, and this is a big controversy in the church. You know, I just lay that out to you, right? You know, there's a lot of people that believe a lot of different things and whatnot, but it seems like from what the scripture is telling us, that a believer, right, a spirit-filled believer can be bound by demons. You know, and there seems to be, you know, some part. Now, obviously, you know, I learned this from Dr. Kraft, the way he'll explain it to you when he comes in a few weeks, is that we are, you know, mind, body, mind meaning the will, the emotions, you know, bodies are physical, and spirit. When we get saved, and when Jesus comes into your life, the Spirit comes into your life, he encapsulates your spirit. You know, so your spirit is given over to the Lord, and the enemy is gone. That's what lasts forever. But the body, the mind, will, emotions, the mind, right? Those things are open target, and that's where discipleship. You know, that's where Paul talked about working out your faith. You know, with fear and trembling. You know, that's how those things come into effect that aligns every part of your life, you know, to the Holy Spirit. And so we see that this child of God was bound for 18 years, his daughter of Abraham, 18 years. You know, it was bound in that way. And so it just kind of gives us a little bit of a picture, you know, over these things. And then he begins to talk to him about the kingdom, and and things that were going on. So let's close our eyes today. Let's just pray about this issue of illness or sickness. It's come to our attention that a lot of people are sick, you know, through the prayer requests that have been coming together. You know, a lot of your family members and aunts and uncles and, you know, some of your parents are going through different things. No, I'm not saying that it's all demonically induced, you know, but at the same time, why not pray? That's why, you know what, there's such a need in the church for the gift of the discernment of spirits. Right? Just discernment. And if there is someone that's sick in your family today, or maybe you're sick, or you know someone, or maybe you've been, you know, coming to morning prayer and you know a lot of people's family members are sick, let's spend some time and let's pray. Let's lift up those people and let's pray warfare prayers. Now, this is in relation to sickness, but you know what? It all could very well be also related to finances as well. There's something called the spirit of poverty. You know, it also can run into emotions. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues where the enemy can attach themselves to. And so let's encourage you to go before the Lord and just seek Him in that. Lift up people that you may believe are in some sort of bondage. And notice Jesus, right? He didn't blame her. He didn't say, well, you did this, and so you opened up a door or a portal for the... He saw her as a victim. You know, let's pray with that in mind, with the heart of compassion. So as John leads us in a song of worship, let's go before the Lord and let's lift up our friends and family in that way.
Broken, I run. Broken. I run to you, for your arms are open wide, Jesus. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I wait. So I wait for you. Lord, I wait. Lord, I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus, your loving heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus. Jesus, your love, this heart living for. Jesus, I'm living for. This heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus. Jesus, your all, this heart is living for.
Let's come together and let's pray for your family in that way we talked about before. Let's pray that we would be free. Whatever bondages, whatever the hold the enemy has, and I don't want to get into the debate about in you or around you, it doesn't really matter. Right? Whatever grip the enemy has over our life, over your life, over our life as a church, over your family, over your relatives, let's ask God to just break it. Let's pray that the truth of God, the light of the Lord would come and just release through a power encounter or a truth encounter or an allegiance encounter, that something would be broken off of their lives right now. That we would be free people, that we'd be a free church. And let's just pray to that end right now. And with that in mind, let's pray for our inner healing conference. And let's ask God to just really come and just just blast over us. You know, something Dr. Kraft shared with me a while back, you know, before I asked him to come, is this, well, you know, what would it feel like if your church was free? Right? If every person in your congregation was totally free, what would that be like? You know, and that's something that I'm praying towards and dreaming about. I know that dream is going to be a reality. And so let's pray for Dr. Kraft and his wife, Meg, and for Judy as they come to minister to us and through the weekend and through the whole week as well. And let's ask the Lord to just really just breathe upon us. And don't forget to get your tickets or else you can't come in, right? So that's very important, right? So let's just cover that time right now. Let's lift up this weekend of services and meetings before the Lord. Let's just pray a covering. You know, let's ask God to just come and bless. Ask the Lord to touch. We have a house church leaders meeting this morning. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we meet together and pray and share. Pray for the youth group later today and the intercessor prayer meeting that they'll have later in the afternoon as well. Let's pray for our service tomorrow. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and our Sunday service at 10 and 2. Ask God to really bless. We have a steering committee meeting in the afternoon, and in the evening, the women have their Bible study. So let's ask the Lord to just really bless all the stuff that we're doing as we're congregating together as a church this weekend, and that the favor of God would flow and the transformation, the work of the Holy Spirit would move in our lives during every service that we have. Let's just pray. And lastly, let's pray for our building and our building fund and ask God to just continue to bless it. Let's pray for Jean-Marc this morning. Let's ask him to bless him and his family. Let's pray for Imelda. And let's pray for Rainbow. Well, we thank you, God. We bless you today, Lord. I pray that you would watch over us and give us strength, God, as we continue to seek after you, God, as we fast and deny ourselves, Lord, Lord, for you, God, to see something flourish and happen in our lives and the life of our church. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. Continue to watch over us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. So have a great day today. House church leaders, 8:30 at Noah's Ark, okay?